everyone, and the cross still works for anybody that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And after you have examined yourself today, if you could just come with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, I would say that would be the prerequisite today to stand with brothers and sisters and take the bread, drink the cup, and receive what God has already done for you on the cross. What an awesome God we serve. I also want to say, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ for communion, there may be some here today. You have never repented of your sins. You have never been baptized in Jesus' name or even filled with the Holy Spirit, never spoken with other tongues, never experienced the power of God changing your life. Communion is no substitute for repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Spirit of God. So in this service, please take advantage of everything that God has for you. We have robes ready. We have the water ready. Communion Sunday is a great Sunday to be baptized in Jesus' name. And so please, if you would alert any leader, any usher, any elder, anytime. You don't have to wait till this message is over. Just at any time, we are ready to baptize you. Would you stand? And we're going to look to these famous scriptures in the New Testament. For those that have participated in communion before, you will recognize them from 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 23, verse number 24. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 23, verse number 24. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I want to prepare your hearts for communion by simply preaching for a little bit from this thought: thanksgiving. Not thanksgiving the holiday, but thanksgiving the act. Thanksgiving. Let's prepare our hearts for what God has for us through his word and by his spirit right now. Would you pray right now? Lord Jesus, I need your anointing, and I ask for you to anoint all of us to be in tune with what your spirit is saying, how your power is working, and what you want to do in each of our lives. You may be seated. Are there any people in the house that, as you're getting ready for Thanksgiving this week, you already started making a list? Maybe four or five. How many of you are not ashamed to say, "I'm a list person"? There's several. How many of you are not ashamed to say, "I've never made a list"? If you just raise your hand the second time, you owe the list person in your life whatever you can do to show your appreciation, because if Thanksgiving at my house was based on my lack of a list, it would be a very lonely, hungry day. I thank God there are people near me that have lists, long lists. I'm a part of the process of them fulfilling their list, but I don't make the list. I just obey the instructions. And if I go to the store, it's always with a list. And even with a list, I come back with half the things wrong, but at least I tried to stick to the list. If I ever go to the store without a list, I just waste lots of money, because I feel more passion in a supermarket than I ever would in the mall. There's something about the supermarket that just really blesses me. Just walking in and amongst all the food. It just makes all the difference. But I think it's obvious that there's already, in fact, there's at least one person in a crowd this size. You're making your list right now while I'm preaching. You're like, okay, I got about 20 minutes here before communion. I could get some stuff done. Some of you are shopping online right now, and I don't want to rebuke you. I just don't think that's the best way to spend your time right now. But it's Thanksgiving, I understand. There's a lot, and so many people raise their hand that don't make lists. We need you to do your shopping right now because it's a big mess. And yet I would just say that as I imagine all the preparation for Thanksgiving, sometimes we might forget to include plans for Thanksgiving. We have so many things on our list and so many demands and so many responsibilities and so many preparations. But if Thanksgiving is not about Thanksgiving, it's not going to be everything that it really should be for you, for your family, for all of us. And so really, what good is Thanksgiving without Thanksgiving? In just a few moments, you're going to be able to tell that this message is meant to be interactive because we're going to start Thanksgiving right now. And as they open the doors in just a moment, the biggest turkey you ever seen is going to come through. Not exactly. Because we're not going to start Thanksgiving with just the turkey or the trimmings. We're going to start Thanksgiving with Thanksgiving. That's how we're going to prepare for a wonderful week with our families. We're going to have grateful hearts and a sense of appreciation for our families, for our church family. Well, what are we going to do as we reflect on that? Thanksgiving. Maybe even our health and the health of those near us. And I know there are challenges in a congregation this side, but wouldn't it be wonderful to start Thanksgiving with thanksgiving? Thank you for my family. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for the extended family joining me on this holiday time. Thank you, Lord, for reasonable health. I can enjoy the week ahead. I can't make predictions, Lord, but I feel like I've got a lot to be thankful for. Some of y'all have already started. I appreciate that as each time you feel to clap your hands in the next few moments out of your mouth, from your heart, just thanksgiving. Why? Because it's Thanksgiving and I'm not going to wait till the food and the football. I'm going to start right now with thanksgiving. I'm going to give the Lord the praise. I'm going to glorify His name with thanksgiving. I think I might not be the only one that's wired in such a way that if I'm not careful, I can focus on what I don't have instead of being thankful for what I do have. And we don't want to enter into Thanksgiving without thanksgiving. Because we might begin to compare ourselves to other people or compare ourselves to what we wish would be our life at this point in time. And we might rob ourselves of a wonderful season of Thanksgiving. And so what we're going to do is we're not going to focus on what we don't have. We're not going to focus on what we wish we had. We're just going to begin Thanksgiving with thanksgiving. God, I know that you have blessed me with so many things, with so many people, with so many blessings, and so here is my thanksgiving. I'm reading a book by an author by the name of David Platt, and some of you probably are aware of him because he is a noted Christian writer, well respected. He's a speaker and a traveler and ministers all over the world. And in a recent book that he wrote entitled Something Needs to Change, he addressed the severe poverty that still exists, certainly in North America, but also in many countries that some of us will never visit. He talked about places where there is such a lack of education and such a lack of medical facilities that people are suffering beyond what we can imagine. I'm reading this book and I am astounded as he begins to describe what he saw with his own eyes going into remote villages where people don't know anything about Christianity and don't know anything about what we would consider the modern world. And so they're a little bit frustrated. They're suffocating by the need and the lack of resources to meet the needs. One simple example is so profound and so tragic, but when a child is born into some families in some villages and that child has a disability, the whole community is concerned. Because they believe that there are spirits that must be appeased. And if this child has been born with disabilities, it must be because those spirits are angry with us. And so this really happens, that some of those children are relegated to living in the barn, chained up with the animals, because they just don't want the spirits around them to be displeased. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to push back what maybe has displeased. How tragic is that? I'm just saying that sometimes parents get on kids' nerves and kids get on parents' nerves, but we got a lot for Thanksgiving. We're not living the way some people are living. And I think as a church, we ought to do everything we can to address the needs of people. And we try, and we want to try harder. But in this little time that we have together, can we at least acknowledge that sometimes I'm so frustrated by little things that in other parts of the world, they would love my problem. They would love to have to deal with what I have to deal with. If they could trade their life for in the fact that even if I don't have health insurance, I can at least walk into a hospital that's in my neighborhood or not too far away, and somebody's responsible to try to help me, where there are people that live in parts of the world that just a simple sickness that brings diarrhea can lead to death because there is no pure water and there are no medical facilities and there is no medicine. And so I just say, let's start Thanksgiving by saying, God, it's been a long time since I said thank you for running water. It's been a long time since I said thank you that I live in a community that has reasonable child care and health care and education and opportunities. Is there anybody that could clap their hands and say, hey, it's time for Thanksgiving? I'm just going to stay here a little bit longer, then I'll move on. I don't want to stay here long, but David Platt talks about going into villages, and he discovers that these families live in such poverty that when a man shows up in town with a little bit of money, and he maybe has what would equate to us as $100, that's more than some of them would see in years of working, and he goes into a village, and he meets some poor families, and he says to them, you know, your children are never going to survive under these conditions. But if you'll let me take them away from the village and down to the city, I'll give them a nice place to live. I'll make sure their needs are provided for. I'll get them some education and some work, and then eventually they'll come back and they'll be a blessing to the family. And these parents are so desperate. These parents are so impoverished that they look at a stranger who somehow convinces them that they can have hope. And so they will release their 12-year-old daughters and 14-year-old daughters into the hands of a stranger who will take them down into the city, and then they will become enslaved in human trafficking and sex trafficking, and that will become their life, never to see their families again. I'm just saying that sometimes when it's Thanksgiving, it needs to be more than just about the meal and more than just about the time off of work. It needs to be an opportunity for somebody to say, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. And so Thanksgiving is my opportunity to say, I love you, Jesus, and I praise you, Jesus. And I'm not going to take for granted my family. I'm not going to take for granted my church. I'm not going to take for granted my community. I'm not going to take for granted my health. It's Thanksgiving time. I'm going to give the Lord thanks today. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody, I know sometimes we hate our jobs, but isn't it great to have a job? Let's thank the Lord for our jobs. Let's thank the Lord for our co-workers. Some kids don't want to go to school, but hey, if you go to school, you can get a life and a career and a future. Thank the Lord for your school. Thank the Lord for your teachers. Why? It's Thanksgiving. I've got so much to thank the Lord for. Thank you for my country. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. I don't know if you have noticed this. I'm really limiting as much as possible, just little drips here and there. But I am really turning off the politics of our world right now, because there is so much cynicism, and there is so much anger, and there is so much distrust, and there is so much bitterness that we are literally destroying the fabric and the foundation of this nation. And you want to blame who you want to blame? I tell you what, I'm not going to blame anybody, but I am going to be thankful, because at least what we have left of a nation is way better than a lot of places where we don't have opportunities. Come on, don't stub up on me. I'm saying we ought to be a thankful people. We ought to be a grateful people. Hey, thank you, Lord, for this country, and thank you, Lord, for our political system. It may be all full of corruption, but at least we have some sense of democracy and some sense of opportunity. And hey, what about thank you, Lord, for liberty, so I can worship you and serve you and raise my family and be blessed. Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Praise God. So Paul says this: for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I think it's pretty awesome that our Lord and Savior, on the same night that he was betrayed, in the midst of betrayal and on the verge of brokenness, he was full of thanksgiving. He was in full thanksgiving mode. If it was a video game, it would be like beast mode. I read that somewhere. We have so many teachers and preachers that have so much free time. I just play video games about 5 days out of the week, 8 hours a day. Thank you for making my life so easy. But think about that, being betrayed and being broken. I'm ready for Thanksgiving. You see, I cannot predict the suffering and the anguish that came into church this morning in the lives of people that love God and serve God. And yet you are looking at this new holiday season that's upon us, and you're saying, my goodness, how did we get to November so fast? It was just like I clicked my heels a couple times, and I went from New Year's resolutions to Thanksgiving turkey. And I'm just still kind of shell-shocked by it all. Who knows how much hurt is in this room right now? Who knows how much heartache is in this room right now? And those things don't take a break for the holidays. People live with the anguish of disappointments, and people live with news from the doctor that they just can't pretend through the next few weeks of Christmas and Thanksgiving that it's not real pain and real uncertainty. But the fact is that Jesus, in the face of betrayal and in the midst of brokenness, he could still celebrate Thanksgiving. Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter what you're going through, you still have a God? And no matter what you're facing right now that none of us understand and none of us would want to carry instead of you or in place of you, at least you can say, you know what? I've been betrayed, but I can be thankful. I've been broken, but I can be thankful, because God is with me. And what the enemy means for evil, God will will turn for good. I'm saying we don't need to bring all that to the table. Don't bring the bitterness. Don't bring the cynicism. Don't even bring the brokenness. Just bring the thanksgiving. I love you, Jesus, and I praise you, Jesus, because even though I've experienced loss, you are still my God. Even though I'm facing tragedy, you are still my God. Even though I don't know the future, you are still my God. And so here's my thanksgiving. Anybody hurting that would clap their hands. Anybody that's going through trouble that would clap their hands. Anybody going through struggle that would say thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Today we take the bread. In a moment we drink from the cup. And all the while we remember Jesus. And because we're focused on Jesus, we're just thanking him. We're not focused on the pain. We're not focused on the problem. We're not focused on the rejection. I'm taking the bread. I'm drinking the cup. But I'm not thinking about who let me down. I'm not thinking about what's wrong. I'm not thinking about a future that's uncertain. I'm thinking about Jesus. And so I thank you, Jesus, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Jesus. When no one else is there for me, you never leave me. You never forsake me. Thank you, Jesus. I may feel betrayed. I may feel broken, but you have never betrayed me, Jesus. You have never broken me, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. What am I doing? I'm taking the bread because it's Thanksgiving time. I'm drinking the cup because it's Thanksgiving time. I'm remembering Jesus. And really, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, all that other stuff is important. Oh, but it doesn't stop me from being thankful. Could you raise your hands? And right where you're seated, could you just remember Jesus for a few moments? Just remember Jesus for a few moments. Anybody just remember the last time you prayed and there was Jesus. The last time you were scared but then come Jesus. The last time you didn't know how you was going to make it but Jesus made a way out of no way. It's Thanksgiving time. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for loving me, Jesus. I thank you for helping me, Jesus. I thank you for blessing me, Jesus. I thank you for working in my life, Jesus. I thank you for helping me, Jesus. And you say in Jesus' name. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we read beginning at verse 15 from the New King James Version. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. You know, holiday time is a great time to forgive people. Communion time is a great time just to say, Jesus, I forgive him, I forgive her, I forgive them. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. There's no way. I've even tried it. I've said the words, but I can't help but feel the rage because nobody should be treated that way. But the scripture says that if I want to be in the will of God, I will be thankful. If I want to be in the will of God, I won't be rendering evil for evil. I won't be just wishing and hoping that he gets his and she gets hers. Somehow at communion time, I just give all that to the Lord and say, Jesus, all I'm focusing on now when I take the bread and drink the cup is you've been so good to me and you have forgiven me of so much. There's no way that I want to hold on to anything that anybody owes me because I don't want to owe you. And so nobody owes me an apology. Nobody owes me an explanation. Nobody owes me appreciation. Why? Because it's Thanksgiving time, and I'm just focused on how good God is. And if I'll just worship Him, if I will just rejoice in Him, if I will just release all the debts maybe that are owed me, then He has promised to release what I owe Him. And my goodness, if there's anything we're going to think about when we take the bread and we drink the cup is that I owed a debt I could not pay, but Jesus paid it all. He took care of my sins by hanging on a cross. He died in my place. And so let me take the bread and drink the cup, forgiving anybody, releasing anything. Why? Because it's Thanksgiving time. It's communion time. It's my opportunity. As Jesus said on the cross, you remember? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. With the ridicule and the shame that he endured. Remember? They said, come on, you're the Savior. Save yourself. And they spit on him, ridiculed him. And he said, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Do you ever go through something and you feel that emotion? They don't even know what they did to me. They don't even know how that hurt me. What a perfect moment to say, Jesus, forgive them. They didn't even know what they were doing. They hurt me so deeply, they don't even realize it. God, forgive them. They didn't even know what they were doing. You know why? I'm about to take the bread, and I'm about to drink the cup, and all I can think about is the grace of God. Anybody could take a moment and just raise their hands as the musicians come and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me opportunity after opportunity, time after time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say in Jesus' name? Praise God. I have mentioned so many things, and as I have preached, so many things have went through your hearts and minds. And I just want to end with this. I won't reference any particular story, but as David Platt was writing, as he was traveling through village after village, when he saw such heartache and loss, when he saw such poverty and distress, he would talk to people about Jesus. And oftentimes he would start the conversation, do you know Jesus? And they would kind of look at him. And with the help of a translator, he would discover they were trying to figure out, I know Jesus doesn't live in this village, but it must be that other village down the hillside. Maybe he lives there. Because they had never heard of Jesus. And I'm just saying, if you pile up all your problems today, and all your pain today, and all that's wrong with you, and what everybody else has done or didn't do, if you pile that up through the ceiling, and on the other side of the scale, you realized you know Jesus. Yeah. Does any of that really matter when you know Jesus? I'm not trying to minimize. I'm not saying there shouldn't be ways to sort through that and get help and all. I'm not saying that doesn't matter. I'm just saying, Jesus, I know Jesus. you know Jesus. And when we speak his name, we know exactly who we're talking about. The God of the universe that came to this earth to be my Savior. I could not reach to him, but he made it to me. And there are still so many that don't even know it. So when I take the bread and when I drink the cup, oh, Jesus, I could thank you for my job. I could thank you for my family. I could thank you for where I live. I could thank you for reasonable health. But none of that matters than saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me freedom from deception and all of the false doctrine, all of the misconceptions about God. You have shown me that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody want to just take a moment right where you're seated and begin to thank the Lord for the privilege of knowing him, of knowing about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Anybody want to take a moment and be thankful for the message of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Anybody want to take a few moments here and just say, I'm so thankful. There may be some things that other people have that I'll never have, but I have Jesus. I have the gospel. I know the plan of salvation that God has made available to me in his word. And I just want to say, I'm thankful, Jesus, as I take the bread, as I drink the cup. If I lose it all, I still have you. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven, Lord. And that's what I'm thankful for. That's what I'm thankful for. And so the scripture says that when it comes communion time, we should judge ourselves, lest we would be judged. We should make sure that we discern the Lord's body in these few moments. So would you bow your heads with me, and let's all together prepare for communion. Lord Jesus, the first thing I want to repent of is being ungrateful. The first thing I want to repent of, God, is areas in my life where I have failed to truly be thankful. Now you fill in the blanks in your own life. You may have to repent for something that nobody else has to repent of, but I guarantee you, Jesus' mercy and Jesus' grace is extended to you right now. And there are some things I need to talk to the Lord about that you don't even have to worry about. But I can tell you, Jesus will prepare my heart for communion as much as he would prepare anyone else's. Because all of us have access in this moment to his mercy and his grace. As the singers help us now, right where you're seated, would you examine yourself? Would you judge yourself? Would you prepare yourself for an opportunity to take that bread and drink that cup and celebrate with thanksgiving the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Can all night
to worship the Lord? Would you worship the Lord? Right where you are, would you just begin to worship the Lord right now? I love you, Jesus.